Hello there. This is Amy Allender, and this is the audio version of the blog post I titled Red Hot Heart Buttons, Letting God Transform Our Weaknesses. This is the first post that I've written in a long time. Maybe in the coming days I'll come into why it's been so hard to get back into it, but my sweet, perfect baby angel, Gideon, is 6 going on 7 months now. And yeah, it's been a real adjustment coming into momhood, but I'm trying to be a little bit more intentional about writing because I do think that's what God is calling me to. So anyway, it really felt good to get back to it. However, a little side anecdote for everybody. A few days ago, I was eating cereal in the morning like a regular person, and I tell people that I spilled coffee on my laptop because to say that somehow magically I was eating my cereal and a spoonful, like I hit my hand on the table somehow and the milk in my spoon went all over the trackpad, the mouse pad on my laptop. And that has no longer been working. So I just don't even know how it happened. I was eating Cheerios, Oat Crunch, which is so good. It's like my new favorite. Yeah, but it just sounds more grown up to be like, oh, I accidentally spilled my coffee on my laptop and had some technical problems. No, it was my cereal milk out of my spoon. I don't know how it happened. So, all that to say, bear with me because now I've got an external, a mouse, which I haven't used in a long time, and I just hooked it up. So if there's some weird pauses, it's probably just me trying to scroll. Also, if you hear creaking, I am in a super old desk chair, which I like, but it is very noisy. So anyway, back to the topic at hand. It's September. And this is the blog post titled Red Hot Heart Buttons, Letting God Transform Our Weaknesses. Here we go. If you've met me for even half a minute, I've likely told you that I hate moving. Like, I hate it with a capital H, which is really too bad because the life I find myself in requires moves and lots of them. It's not that I dislike the tediousness of the packing, because if you are involved in the military, they can send people to do that for you. Side note. Or that I worry my things are going to get broken, or even the drag of relocating, or even the fear that I'll never ever find another friend ever again. To be honest, to tell you why I hate moving so much would be really complicated, because I'm not exactly sure why myself. It's a topic I'm sure you'll hear more about in the coming days, months, years, if you keep letting me jabber your ear off. You'll hear more about it because the thought of moving touches my heart in a way that very few things do. I love to be part of a community. I love taking part in annual events, being present in the lives of others, having those same people present in my life, the opportunity to do a good work that takes time and trust. I crave friends that I'll be able to be with face-to-face for more than just 3 years at a time, which is our average stay. God has wired me to have a strong connection to home and a yearning to settle in, lay deep roots, and crave stability. All that might seem counterintuitive since Jesus himself spoke of not having a place to lay his head. In fact, lots of people called by God have found themselves to be wanderers. And here, I know you're listening to it, but if you click over to the actual post, I've linked up that passage where Jesus talks about not having a place to lay his head. And throughout the post, I'm sharing a couple pictures from my last move from Minot, North Dakota, a place that I love with capital L, down here to Rapid City in South Dakota. Anyway, back to the post. But alas, here I am, kicking and fighting against the nomadic life. And after advice, books, prayer, and even paid counseling, which addressed more than just my hatred of moving, I find that my desire to stay put has remained intact. So I've drawn the conclusion that this is just part of who God has made me to be. It is my red hottest of hot button issues. You see, no matter how many times I get yanked out by the roots, I remain optimistic that this next place maybe could be my forever home. So I get involved, I get committed. It's a classic you jump, I jump situation. And thank you to anyone who got that reference. Spoiler, it's from Titanic. I'm a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan. I volunteer and I learn the culture, and in some cases I pick up the accordion. I pick up the slang and a little bit of the accent. I never really care where it is, even if it's a place no one wants to live, like Minot, North Dakota. I just want to stay there and never leave. Total transparency, it's what I cry the most tears over, and it's what I find myself laying on the kitchen floor over, which is where I do my most pathetic crying. It's what I pray about. Stressing over it derails my hopes and my dreams and my ambitions. It paralyzes me with fear sometimes. It's just about the only thing that stirs up a heated discussion between Derek and me, which is the closest we get to arguing. Sometimes it steals my sleep. Sometimes it steals my appetite. More than once, I've allowed it to steal my peace. As you read this, you might think I'm totally crazy, because to you, moving is no big deal, or maybe it's even something you actually like to do. And that's cool. We can still be friends. In fact, please, let's be friends. If you could bottle up some of that bravery and send it to me, that would be great. But I bet there's something in your life that causes a similar reaction. Maybe. The symptoms might not be exactly the same, but I'm sure you have a red, hottest, hot button deep in your own heart, a metaphorical thorn in the flesh, like Paul, or a pebble in your chacos. After years, it's been nearly 10 now, of fighting and clawing my hot button, I'm finally starting to take a different view of it. If I've tried earnestly all this time to shake it without success, maybe it's part of who God created me to be. I've come to believe that this, one of my biggest weaknesses, is not only a curse. If a stay-putter, craver of stability, homebody is part of who God created me to be, then even this weakness can be a strength for His glory and His kingdom. So hear me here. God does not want me living in stress and fear about the day Derek will tell me we're moving again. In the narrative of our lives, God is never, ever the bad guy. Satan would like us to believe that God is setting us up for failure and heartache by placing these hot buttons in our hearts. But Satan's identity is lies. He is lies personified, and we must be cognizant enough to identify him, deny him, and turn our faces back to the truth. Let's transform the way we think about our hot buttons. If God doesn't intend me to be heartsick, why would He wire me with such a strong longing for a stay-put home? Maybe so I'll continually need to rest in His stability. Maybe because that desire enables me to establish myself in a community oddly quickly, an asset to a girl who finds herself in a new town every few years. Maybe because that yearning for forever friends mean I quickly invest in the lives of those around me. Maybe so I can empathize with others who find themselves away from family, or so I can empathize with those who long to have a place to belong. My optimism about staying put encourages me to continue dreaming and takes away my fear of making friends. The truth is, God has equipped me for the unique work He's tasked me with by wiring me to long for stability and crave a forever home. This weakness of mine becomes an asset when placed in God's hands. It allows me to point back to Him, rely on Him, and minister to His people in ways I simply could not if the weakness didn't exist. And I believe He's equipped you too. Satan would have us be ashamed of our red-hot heart buttons. But if we're in Christ, we have no more shame. Absolutely none. That means no shame in our weaknesses, and no shame in the things God has created us to care about. Okay, please take a quick note here. God is never actually going to wire us to care for or yearn for something that the Bible tells us is against His will or His word. So keep that in mind. It's time we transform our thinking. Let's take the things we consider weaknesses, and instead of brushing them under the rug, take them out, hold them up for the world to see, and proclaim them for the glory of God. When we do this, Satan loses all power over our weaknesses. God can and will bring glory to himself through our weaknesses. I firmly believe God will use the side effects of your red hot heart button to better equip you for the work he'd like to task you with. So you be you and own it like a boss. No shame, and be confident in God's ability to bring good to you and those around you. Now, this is in all caps, so I'm going to try and say it like it's in all caps. I'm Amy, and I really, really, really hate moving. I'm not a voice actress. That's me proclaiming and admitting my weakness and being confident that God is and will use it for his good purpose. Now it's your turn. Take some time to identify major weaknesses or heart issues in your own life. Pray over them. In what unique ways has God wired you with weakness? How can you transform your thinking about those qualities to understand that God will use those for his glory? How might he be using them already? But don't just believe me. Check out this classic quote from Paul. You might have read it before, but read it again anew tonight. Are you reading God's words or really believing them for your life? Remember, scripture is always best read in context, so I encourage you to click over and read the verses around the chapter or the whole book while you're at it, to make sure you're understanding the true meaning of the verses. So this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's verses 9 and 10. So you can pick up your favorite app and go over, or I've got it linked up here in the text blog post. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Thanks for joining me, and hopefully I'll have another post up and reading it to you soon.